The kettle's boiled, Vic.
Great. Perfect timing. Just a dash of milk for me, please, mate.
Here you go. Shall we get started, then?
Have you ever woken up on a Sunday morning and said, I'm never drinking again, and then found yourself waving 50 bucks at a barman by happy hour?
Are you wondering why everyone else can stop at one, while you head to a dodgy after-party with a weird bloke called Disco Dave? If so, it might be time to take a deeper look at your relationship with your reliable social crutch, alcohol.
On each episode, we'll investigate our own dysfunctional dealings with booze and find out if it's possible to stop this deeply ingrained habit before things get too messy.
Yep, we're going to open up a shame shed of humiliating drinking stories to help you understand why waking up from a booze coma each weekend with a kebab sticking out of your top pocket might actually be negatively impacting your health.
Hamish and I are here to delve into what it's like being sober, an unwanted warts and all look into why giving up those cheeky pints or putting down those mummy wines will make you feel happier, help your anxiety and mental health, and turn you into the most sparkly, authentic version of you.
Won't that mean I become boring though, Vic?
Well, Hamish, we'll just have to wait and see. I'm Victoria Vanstone.
I'm Hamish Adams-Cairns.
And this is Sober Awkward. Right, weirdly, I'm in the booth on my own, which feels terribly strange and lonely. I'm here with a cheeky bonus episode of Sober Awkward, you'll be pleased to hear. I didn't want you to go a whole week without some toilet humour and some sober inspiration. Hamish and I recorded a chat about loneliness a couple of weeks ago. Because it was a topic that came up on my recent sober weekender, I thought I'd share it with you before this weekend in case anyone was dealing with loneliness and wanted some tips on how to feel less isolated in sobriety. I also wanted to tell you a little bit about what's coming up in Series 6 that starts next week. Hamish and I have broken all the rules and decided to get some guests on. Woohoo! We are starting top notch, of course. What would you expect? With Fatboy Slim. We can't wait to share that one with you. And we have some other incredible guests booked in. We plan on releasing one guest episode per month, intertwined with your usual sober awkward episodes. Also, coming up in Season 6, we're going to have a chat about dopamine, about red flags, about hormones, and what it's like being sober on Tinder. We might have a special guest that you know for that one, but I'm not going to give too much away. If you would like to buy one of our Sober Awkward t-shirts, I may as well tell them about you now because I'm in here on my own and I feel like waffling away. You can go to our website, which is soberawkward.com, and you'll find the shop. Buying a t-shirt on there or a packet of tea or indeed joining Patreon are three great ways for you to support us and help us share the message that sobriety isn't just cool, it will actually be the best thing you ever do for yourself. Hamish and I do work so hard, and with your support, we can keep this going. So show us some love and buy us a monthly cup of tea. Now that's enough of awkward, weird begging. I just wanted to share this episode today because loneliness is something that I have suffered from in sobriety. And last weekend, I spent some time with other amazing sober women. We went camping and laughed and shared all of our experiences. But the problem of feeling isolated came up. And it is an odd one because a lot of people feel it. It can actually be the reason why people give up on sober life, which is a shame. So me and Hamish had a little bit of a chat about it. I hope this episode helps you that are struggling look beyond the icky bit and get you back out there and owning your sobriety. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm sorry it's just me. I feel weird in here in Freddie's room on my own. I hope you enjoy the episode and tune in to Series 6 starting next Monday. Bye.
Lonely, I am so lonely, Mr. Lonely.
Oh dear, Hamish, can you stop that, please? Hamish. Oh dear, oh dear.
Not good.
Have you ever had, I thought you was like a drama kid. You're supposed to have a good singing voice.
No, I never did musicals.
Why are you singing that song, Hamish?
Well, today's episode, the clue was in the song.
Oh.
Was lonely. Mr. Yes. Lonely.
Oh, it's Loneliness. Mr. Lonely. Okay, I get
it. So, what did you do this weekend? Okay, leading question.
Yeah, I wasn't lonely actually this weekend.
Okay,
yeah,
I failed.
Actually, this is the reason why I wanted to talk about this topic today, which is loneliness in sobriety. Because sometimes I do get lonely, Hamish, but this weekend I went out and had lunch with some sober women. I always come away feeling really good after hanging out with sober people because I realise I don't have to explain myself when I'm with sober people. Most social interactions used to happen at the pub, and now that we don't go out as much, neither of us are getting the same amount of contact that we used to. And well, like a lot of sober people, we stay in more than ever.
I would say that I sell in more than ever, not only because I'm sober, but because I'm a new dad.
Yeah.
Because I'm actually really never alone at all.
Yeah, there's something to be said for that as well. Yeah.
But yeah, if loneliness is being alone, I think we'll cover this later, but I'm literally never alone, except for my drive to and from work.
Yes, which is probably your favourite time of day.
It's my favourite time. Yeah. I do quite enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I rarely feel lonely in that sense. So for me, the loneliness weirdly comes when I'm surrounded by people, but they are maybe drunk people.
Yes.
And so you can feel lonely in a room full of people. That's what I have experienced at weddings or big boozy events.
So true. For some, they found out they are shy when they quit drinking. More of an introvert, like Lucy found out. I could never get Lucy out, Hamish. She was happy at home with a cup of tea and a grim British crime drama. I literally had to drag her out the front door by the ear in the early days of her sobriety. Actually, Hamish, you've got quite a lot to grab onto there, haven't you, your ears?
First my nose, then my height, now my ears.
Yeah.
just stop. Is that fat shaming? Length shaming. Stop length shaming me.
Yeah, I'm ear shaming.
You are.
Yeah.
Today we want to discuss why staying at home feels so safe, why it's imperative to keep going out, living your life, and how to overcome that initial phase of sobriety isolation.
Oh yes, that's a good term, sobriety isolation.
Did you come
yes.
up with that?
Yes, thank you.
That is good.
I should get paid for that.
You should write a book.
I should write Sobriety Isolation, The Diaries. Yeah. We want you to go away from this podcast feeling less alone in your sober journey. And knowing that the world is patiently waiting for your triumphant return.
Loneliness is that negative feeling that arises when our social needs are unmet by the quantity and quality of our current social relationships. As social beings, we rely on safe, secure social surroundings to survive and thrive. That is like a lot of S's.
Yes. So,
wow. When we begin to feel lonely, we experience heightened feelings of vulnerability, which can take a toll on both our bodies and our mind.
Loneliness is common. It affects around 1 in 3 adults. And after a few years with a pandemic driving people to isolate more often, loneliness is a feeling that many of us might still be experiencing. I just wanted to interject there, Hamish, and tell you about the time I worked for Meals on Wheels. Mm-hmm. That was a time where I really experienced the loneliness of others. I had to deliver the meals to people in the community around here on the Sunshine Coast, and I didn't realise, it says 1 in 3 adults, and I'd say that is specifically more older people, because I would deliver meals to people and they would never have seen anyone for the whole day. Mm. And you forget sometimes that there are people living all around you that are lonely. It's quite sad, isn't it?
Yeah, we actually get that working on the radio here.
Yeah.
There are people that call up the radio every day that I'm working, not to be like song request or not to be on air, but just to have a catch up.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, same people every time. Just, oh, what are you up to? Oh, I'm doing this. It's raining at my house. And just have a chat for a while.
Yeah.
I think that's sort of one of the nice things about radio. Having voices in the house all the time. People get to know the presenters and feel like they're friends and feel like they're less alone.
And that's something that we get with the podcast, actually, is that often our messages say, your podcast makes me feel less alone in our sobriety, which is great, isn't it? To know that you can go for a walk or sit in a room or not go out if you don't want to and have us there to support you and to be there, even if we're not physically there.
Yeah, that's quite nice. Yeah, a lot of people don't have a lot of sober friends. So I guess we can just be the sober.
We can just be the sober friends. Yeah. We're happy to be your sober friends. Yeah. Loneliness happens in sobriety because you change. You want different things from a social experience and you worry about people's reactions to your newfound sobriety.
And so you stay in and hide like a hermit, get lonely and possibly begin to feel depressed. I consider myself an extrovert and confident, but now often find myself preferring a night in over a noisy party. I try and come up with an excuse if we can get invited to a dinner party that starts. That's right, starts at 8 p.m. Am I just getting old though? Is this what parenthood looks like?
I think so. Those 8 o'clock starts, like people say, oh yeah, come around for dinner. We'll start the barbecue at about 8.
Yes, yeah, and my no mum's food till 9.
You see her yesterday, Hamish was over for dinner. She's like, what time are we eating? I was like, we're going to eat at 5. And she folded her arms.
No, it was 4:45.
It was 4:45. She's like, this is too early. She can't cope.
See, when we invite people over for dinner, so get there at 6, the food's already on the table.
Yeah.
And it only takes about half an hour. And then usually we bathe Sunny.
Yeah.
And like one of us disappearing to the bathroom is quite a clear piss
it's
off.
It's the sign.
It
yeah.
is, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
In, out. We've had your company, now you're off.
My mum used to put the clocks forward. So, you know, we'd go sit in like the living room after dinner and the clock would be half an hour forward. And we'd go, oh my God, is that the time? And I'd leave. It's good.
That is a good tip.
She now has a cushion. So I think my brother and wife got her a cushion, which is on the sofa where people would sit, that says, please leave by 9.
Love it. I need one of those. It is partly about getting old, I think, and partly being more introvert in sobriety, and partly just no longer knowing how to socialise. I think that's huge. For me, it was the last one that was the clincher. There is a saying I love, which is, the kettle doesn't boil unless you turn it on. And I'm often reminded of this in sobriety. I've noticed that I don't get invited to many events anymore, especially boozy parties. This is for many reasons. Some people might think I'm boring or judging them, or just because they don't like me, which is fair enough. I don't mind that. So now we have to switch the kettle on. I have to switch it on by myself and create a social life that suits me. Does that make sense? You need to switch on your life rather than wait for somebody else to boil it for you.
So you invite yourself to your own parties every time?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, are you saying you're about to make a cup of tea? It's a bit weird timing it during the podcast, but yeah, I don't really drink tea. I'll take a chai though, if you are.
I don't know. I'm not saying it. No. I'm not actually putting the kettle on now.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I completely misread the situation.
Yeah. Although if you do want a cuppa afterwards, I'll make you one.
Thank you.
Yeah. It means in sobriety you must work out new ways to socialise that make you happy, not trigger you and make you less anxious. And this can be really hard, which is why lots of people stay at home. You have to reframe socialising in order to not be lonely. You touched on a few reasons there, Hamish, when you were talking, but why do you feel lonely sometimes?
As I said, I'm never alone and I'm always busy with Liz and with Sunny, which I love. So I'm not lonely in that respect, but I guess I am lonely sometimes in my sobriety. The way I described it, I think I said this on the podcast, is when I'm at an event where everyone is drunk, there's a very specific moment in the night where I feel as if everyone has boarded a train to a place that I can't get to. They're all in the same headspace and I can't get there whatever I try and do. I can be silly, I can dance, I can still hold a good conversation, but I can't get to where they are.
Is it about 10 p.m, Hamish?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
About 10, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That can be lonely. Like the weddings, that is when I looked for pregnant women and parents.
Yes, yeah.
That was what my decision. Although the parents were often more pissed than my mates.
Yeah.
But pregnant women were my safe space. Although most weddings that I went to, and this is probably a sign of the times, had at least one other sober person who was sober, not because they were pregnant.
Yes,
so
okay,
there always seems
good.
To be one other.
So you can search out a sober buddy sometimes in those situations.
Yeah. I've lived in Australia for 5 years. And I've always slightly struggled with connecting with Australian men. And I don't know why that is. It might be something to do with me. It might be the fact I haven't met particular ones that are my type of people. And this is a stereotype. But there's a big drinking culture here. That is a way that people bond. And now I've even taken that out of my repertoire of tools to bond with Australian men.
Yeah.
So I think it could be even harder and I might start feeling lonely in that respect.
I think you're very open and very extrovert, as we talked about before. And I think some Australian men are not like that and probably find it a bit much. Like John's quite similar to you, very outgoing, and he finds the same issue. He finds it quite hard to connect with people. I think part of it is because we're expats and the people here are already established. They've got their mates from school. Yeah. They've got their mates that they hung out with. So they don't need new mates often. Mm-hmm. And it is quite hard to establish yourself within a community over here for any expat living in any other country. And you do end up looking for people from your own country eventually, which is strange. Yeah. I do find having a connection over home, over England with people, starts off a good bond with someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and saying, hey, let's meet and go for a pint is a lot more socially acceptable than let's meet and go for a walk or Scrabble at mine.
Yeah, it's so true. You almost don't know where to invite someone to, do you?
Yeah.
Shall we go down the beach? Yeah, it just sounds odd rather than let's go down the pub and have a few pints with our mates.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you can't almost establish a connection early on, so therefore it's almost avoided.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier we talked about going to bed early, and sometimes on a Friday night I find myself in bed at 8 p.m. I wonder who I am now. It doesn't coincide with who I've been for the last 25 years. So that can be a bit weird. I'm almost disappointed with myself because I've been so brainwashed into believe that staying home is boring. And I think that's part of the issue. Like, we think being at home is boring, whereas in fact, it's actually not that boring. Mm. It's actually quite cozy, isn't it?
I also told you earlier today, so I had dinner here with you last night, got home, Sunny's not well. And we started watching a show. I fell asleep. Sunny woke up. Liz went in there to see if he was all right. She came back. She goes, "Haim, you're asleep. We're still in the sevens."
Oh, yes. 7 p.m. So sleep.
I was in bed and asleep, still in the sevens.
Oh, see, we're like, that's a win, aren't
and
we?
And I've been out for dinner. I've been sociable that night.
That is a win to me. Like, the earlier, the better.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so I think we did like 5 or 6 wake-ups before midnight. Yeah, like, you know, poor you've been Sunny. Asleep early when you've got 5 or 6 wake-ups.
Oh, he's
before.
Teething, isn't he?
Yeah, front tooth.
So we've got Sonny who's teething and my poor little Freddie who had to have a tooth pulled out on Friday.
Yeah, it's been a very tooth-focused week for us, isn't
it? It's very toothy week.
What about you, Vic? Why do you feel lonely sometimes?
Well, it's funny, really. People don't really imagine me as being a lonely person, but I do get lonely occasionally. I'm not sure sometimes who I am socially anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who this person is. It's still taking me time, even 5 years in, to work out who I am in a social situation. And sometimes I fill that gap with who I am with speaking. And then I feel paranoid about what I've said.
Okay.
So I'll go out and I'll over talk and be like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And I walk away feeling quite distressed that I've spoken too much.
You think you've dominated conversation?
I feel like I've dominated conversation and been a bit of a wanker. I feel comfortable at home, which of course everybody does. I couldn't be bothered with the whole I'm sober convo sometimes.
Yeah.
Especially being out with non-drinkers, they're like, why don't you drink? I just can't be asked to answer loads of questions. And I've changed so much and that can be confronting for people. So that's also hard. I'm not as good as making effort with people. I used to be really desperate to please people and now I'm not. So that means I don't make as much effort with people.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
I actually do make quite a lot of effort.
You make huge effort with people.
Okay, good.
Maybe it's people you hate.
Yeah, just people. I think I'm better at deciding at who I hate.
Okay, that's good.
I think that's what it is. I think people presume I'm busy when I'm not. And so this is my during the week thing, Hamish. Mm. So during the week, I see you on Mondays. We do the podcast, right? Then for the rest of the week, my phone doesn't go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kind of bumbling around. I get loads of work done. I do lots of writing. I don't go out for lunch with people. I don't go for walks with people. And I get very lonely during the week. And I guess everyone's busy during the week. And that is the problem with having your own business or running your own thing, which is what I do. I run this whole big thing, this sober thing. And I just think people presume I'm busy.
Yeah.
And actually, I'm not. I need breaks. I'm not in an office where you can have a tea break or a smoko break with someone. I'm at home alone and there's no one there to say to you, do you want a cup of tea or should we go for a walk or should we have a chat? And I get lonely because I'm running my own business and I think maybe I need to go to one of those communal workspaces so that I've got people to chat to throughout the day because I thrive on human connection. When I'm working at home alone, I definitely feel sort of isolated.
I would have assumed 3 kids during the school term is mayhem.
No, not during the day. Yeah. I mean, it is mayhem. I'm busy, but I need breaks from that busyness. I think that's what it is.
I was very aware when we moved up here, suddenly the phone doesn't ring.
Yeah.
I think we're used to London and it's like there's plans every night and we're going to theatres and we're going to shows and there's birthdays. And then you move away from that or you move to Queensland or wherever you move to.
And have kids.
And have kids. And you go, oh, the phone doesn't ring anymore.
Yeah, the phone doesn't ring. I don't know whether that's... I think this is a problem with social media as well. People presume you're all right.
Right.
And it's that thing with depression and people... And suicide. I remember this guy from Ellen's show committed suicide recently.
Oh.
The guy who did the music for Ellen's show, I think.
Yep.
And I saw a video of him the other day, the day before he committed suicide, where he was doing like a TikTok dance.
Mm.
And I think you just presume everybody's okay because they're doing things like that. There's photos of them with their family. They look happy. Everybody looks nonchalant, like they're having a lovely time. Whereas in fact, people are lonely and sad and depressed, but they don't show that side of themselves online because they don't want anyone to worry about them. And that is an issue in our modern culture, I think, is that people look like they're not lonely, whereas in fact, actually they are.
Absolutely. It seems for both of us that we are alone or lonely, perhaps a little more than we would like.
I may have cancelled myself, Hamish.
Oh, you reckon you've
cancelled? Yeah, I've cancelled myself. Is that allowed?
Yeah, it's allowed. It's frowned on. It's understandable, though. Cancelling yourself feels easier than putting this sober version of you out there. I know I was worried my mates would think I was a boring wanker now. But surprisingly, a recent... Well, they might still think I'm a wanker.
Yeah, they won't tell you, though.
Surprisingly, a recent survey shows that 91% of males between the ages of 18 and 35 wouldn't care if a mate chose not to drink on a night out. And that has actually been my lived experience, which I was surprised by.
I'm so surprised by that and joyful I feel about that. So really, that thing that we get into our head about people not accepting us as being sober is starting to change. So if we do go out and say, I don't drink, there's 91% of males in Australia would say, don't worry about it, mate, that's fine. So it's only 9% that would give you a hard time.
Because I think a lot of people stay in during those early years because they just, like you said, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about why I'm sober. And actually, my experience is you say I'm sober, and there aren't follow-up questions.
There
People
aren't.
Are just accepting, oh, yeah, whatever, you don't need to drink.
Does that mean you're only 9% wanker?
Yeah, 9% wanker, 91% total bloody legend.
Yeah, that's so true. Not a bad result, I reckon. So those opinions of others that we spend so much time stressing over don't actually exist.
That's right. We're coming into an era of more accepting views. As society, we're beginning to understand that it's personal choice to drink or not, and we respect the decisions of our friends. If they are not drinking, they have a good reason, and that is enough.
Yeah, just saying I'm sober should be enough. Yeah, instead of the old, come on, what's wrong with you, nowadays you might just get a good on you, mate, which is an incredible leap forward for all of mankind, I reckon. So staying home because you are worried about what others might think of you is not actually real, we've discovered. Also, if they do care and have a go at you about it, they're more than 9% wanker and you don't need them in your life.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
What are some of the other reasons sober people stay home more? Scared of relapse is obviously quite an easy one, although what we've both found is that you stay at home because you're scared of relapsing, but then you stay at home too much, your life becomes boring. Alcohol is not boring, so I'll drink.
Yeah, that's
And that
so
is such
true.
A dangerous mindset.
Such a dangerous mindset. Mm. Yep, staying at home, especially isolation, especially the pandemic, that's a perfect example. Mm. People stayed at home, got bored and started drinking and came out the other end with a huge drinking issue.
Absolutely.
So staying at home is a catalyst to drinking sometimes, I think. Too far out of the comfort zone going out. Well, we've had that whole episode on the comfort zone, have we? It is hard going out in early sobriety, but I think you've got to do it, haven't you?
Going out also means dancing quite often, and dancing sober is a challenge.
Yes.
Yes, you're slightly more self-aware.
Yeah, the old robot doesn't come out as often, does it?
No.
The silly dancing, like the rowing, was that was one? Sitting on the floor doing the row.
Oh, yeah, good.
Upside your head. Say, oops, upside your head. Do you know that dance?
Not a great one.
The Nutbush. Did you do the Nutbush? What dances do you know, Hamish?
I know the robot. That was my signature dance move when I was a mascot.
Okay, yeah.
Never could do the worm. Would have liked to. Vinny the Viking, the Yorkshire mascot, could do the worm.
Oh, so you did the worm. Yeah, that's always a good one.
I couldn't do it.
Couldn't do the worm?
No.
I used to try the worm, and every Sunday morning, I would go out, have a blackout, and then in the morning, I would always have a cut on my chin.
Yeah,
and my mates would be like, you were trying the swan dive again.
Yeah.
You can't do it. Just accept you can't do it. And I would literally like just be throwing myself onto the dance floor and cutting my chin wide open.
Yeah. Now, my dance moves are usually, my bottom half is basically jogging on the spot.
Okay, yeah.
And my top half's doing whatever he wants. So my step count's good when I dance.
What Hamish and I did was do the sober dancing in the dark to get over the fear.
Good one.
I highly
recommend that as a first stepping stone.
Yeah, for sure. And even like one of those silent discos. So good. Stunted conversations I've put there. I added that one because when you're out and you're first sober, you almost don't know what to say anymore. It is really weird, isn't it? So you're kind of like stumbling over your words, really conscious of what you're saying, probably over talking like I do, and you avoid going out because you just can't be bothered to feel anxious about what you're going to say.
Well, because when we were drinking, our perception was that we were brilliant conversationalists, always had the fun topics, bouncing off people, quick witty replies.
Yeah.
And you probably still have all of those in you, just without the alcohol, because you probably weren't as good as you thought you were when you were drunk.
I think we need to go out, Hamish, and go out with some really drunk people and record some of the conversations they're having.
That'd be nice.
Just to see what it's like, to see if it is as witty and as funny as we remember it being, because I don't think it will be.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll just be a lot of slurring, won't it? And dribbling.
Yeah. The next one you've written here is one that I still haven't got over, which is the awkward bill paying.
Of course,
people stay inside because they don't want to have the conversation when the bill comes and you don't want to be the person that goes, well, I drank water, not the bottles of vodka and the cocktails. So can you divide it? And I still haven't got over it. So I just now pay my share, which is other people's. I pay for other people's cocktails is basically what's going on.
So you're going out and paying for other people's drinks just because you're sober. Alcoholic drinks.
Yes.
That's so annoying.
I had paid for my last alcoholic drink. I have bought loads of alcoholic drinks since going sober, but I've just not drunk any of them.
That's so funny.
That's
like, we shouldn't, as sober people, be going out and paying for other people's booze.
Yeah, I do it all the time. Yeah. All the time.
It's just easier just to put the money on the table and go, here you go, but then never go and see those people again.
Why? Because... why? It's not. No one would think I was a prick if I said, by the way, guys, I didn't drink the wine. Here's my share. Like, no one's going to remember that the next day or the next time they go out. But it's bloody hard to say it.
It is.
I'd rather just shut up and pay my share.
Exactly. And that's why people don't go out. Yeah. It's because they don't want to have that awkward conversation. Whereas if someone said that to me, like, sorry, I'm sober, I don't want to pay for the expensive wine that you've ordered, I'd be like, fair enough, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, work out what you've paid. But I think we have these conscious minds that go round and round these events before they happen, and we talk ourselves into not going out. Mm. That's what we're doing. Earlier bedtimes we've talked about. Yeah. What's the next one, Haim?
Nothing to prove anymore.
Yes.
What do you mean by that one?
I meant by, like, when I used to go out, I used to want to prove to people what a brilliant partier I was. Mm. What a brilliant person. Oh, look at me. I can drink more than anyone else. I can dance better. I can stay out longer. I give a fuck what people think about me. Whereas now I've got nothing to prove. So if someone I really liked or fancied, for example, before I was married, I would go out to go and impress that person. But now I haven't got anyone to impress or show off to. I don't really care what people think about me, so there's no need for me to go out.
I don't need to
go out and act in a stupid way and make people laugh, because I don't give a shit whether they like me or not.
So I am the other side of that coin. I understand that you don't need to go out because you don't need to prove yourself. I like to go out because I'm trying to prove that sobriety is not boring.
Yes, and I love that you do that, because, like, that means you're a brilliant advocate for non-drinkers, because you're like, look, here I am, I still do everything that I've always done, but I don't drink. And that is brilliant. But I think further along the line, if we were to speak in a year, you'd be like, nah, I can't be asked for that anymore.
Exhausted of that.
Yeah. Too tired.
Who cares? I am not the leader of sober people. Yeah. I don't need to wear
You actually
this
are, though. That's the thing you don't realise. You're like the Pied Piper of the sober world. Of course, we don't like being around drunk people too much.
No.
So you're obviously going to avoid going out if you are triggered by drunk people, or you just can't bear that horrible booze breath in your face anymore.
It's a good point. We always say there are no downsides to sobriety. There is one downside to sobriety, which is when you're drunk, drunk people aren't annoying.
Yes.
When you're sober, they are.
Very annoying.
That is the one downside of sobriety. Yeah. I'm sorry if I had to reveal it on the podcast.
Oh, especially when they start repeating the story again and again. The old stories that you've heard a million times. Oh, God, not this again.
Or just
again.
Slightly too close to your face. You're wearing a bit of spittle. Oh. Yeah.
And the old foam in the corners of the mouth.
Yeah, that.
You're like, mate, and you can't help... this sounds terrible, but because I have been that person, I've been that drunk person for many, many years, so I feel like I'm allowed to say this, but, like, the spit in the corner of the mouth and just kind of being this floppy mess, it just isn't a good look, is it?
No.
And you feel like when you're in that moment that you're kind of like this goddess. I used to think I was gorgeous when I was drunk, but now I look back and go, oh, my God, I was just a dribbly mess.
Yeah. These are all great reasons. It makes me just want to make a cup of cocoa and put my feet up. Maybe I'm missing out a bit now I'm sober, because I feel like interacting with other humans has to be part of life. It's what energises me. Is that right, Vic?
Well, I had a look into this. Humans are social animals. It's true. I wanted to find out why it's healthy for sober people to keep socialising, though. And the results are quite simple, really. Luckily for us, Haim, there are no long words or maths involved in this. Because, you know, we're not very good at the old maths, number 52. It's really all about other people stimulating your well-being. It's proven that going out and being social is good for you and can help nip loneliness in the bud if you make positive connections with other humans. That's what it's all about, connecting with people, be it online, via a letter, or in person with a local barrister that's making you coffee. It will all help you.
Hang on, is the barrister making your coffee, or is the barista making you coffee?
Well, I had this conversation with Mum last night. She had a friend who was training to be a barrister, and we were all like, oh, God, that's amazing. We thought she was going to be a lawyer, but she's actually training to make coffee. Nothing wrong with that, though, of course.
If you've got the barrister making you coffee, you've done well.
Yeah.
You've walked into a coffee shop, there's a barrister sitting next to you. Oi, you, mate. Flat white.
How dare you, he'd say. I'm off to court. Here are some reasons why socialising in your sobriety are good for you. The first one, of course, is your mental health. It stimulates all of those good dopamines, Hamish, which we talked about before. All of those good enzymes. Are they enzymes, sure. Hamish? Shall I try and say scientific words?
Neurotransmitter?
Yes, something to do with that. It flickers all of those things.
Things. We're like, things is always our word.
It's always our word. The things that are going on your thingy.
Yeah, the things in your brain, they go wild. It also gives you a sense of purpose. I think a lot of people lose their purpose in their sobriety. They think they're the party girl. They lose their sense of identity.
Sure.
And then they struggle. It also helps ward off degenerative disease such as dementia and Alzheimer's. Is that right? Socialising can put it off.
Yep, it puts it off. Because it's stimulating your brain. I actually found out something really interesting this weekend, Hamish, that I think we can do a whole podcast on is alcohol and dementia. I met a lady who works in palliative care, and she had someone there who had alcohol-induced dementia that was terminal.
Yeah.
So she was an overdrinker, and it had caused this disease, and she was going to die from it.
And she was young, wasn't
she? And she was really young, like in her 50s. Yeah, terrible. So I think we'll definitely do an episode about dementia and alcohol, because it seems to be something that is more common than I realised.
I had no idea they were linked.
No. Connection brings confidence. Well, I definitely have experienced that myself. The more I go out, the more confident I feel, and it's like that Lego wall that we've talked about before. Each brick adds to my confidence, and I end up with this massive wall to the point where I now go into social situations when I'm not feeling lonely and isolated and think, I'm just going to fucking own this. And like, here I am. I might over talk because I'm a bit overexcited, but that confidence is something that everybody will take time to build in your sobriety. And once you get it, it is bloody brilliant.
I hope that brick metaphor works for people. I think about that all the time.
It's such a good one.
Every time I go out sober, I feel like it's building this wall of confidence. I can do it. I've done it again. I've done it again. I've done it again. And just feel like I'm improving as a human.
Yeah.
It might be just going over people's heads that, but it really works for me.
Lucy used to describe it as a blank canvas for her. Her social life was this blank canvas, and it was up to her to paint the picture.
Nice.
So she used all different colours every time she went out. And by the end of a few months, she had an amazing array of colours on her canvas.
Good.
And she could choose then what she wanted to take away from it. She tried different social situations, and she eventually found ones that worked.
She's got
great.
More artistic brain than me. I'm building a wall.
Yeah, you're more of a builder.
And she's got a beautiful artistic creation.
I'm just slapping cowpats against the wall. I'm like, oh, the more cowpats I slap against the wall, the more confident I feel.
Strong, healthy relationships lead to a strong, healthy life. Basically, good food, good habits, and good friends contribute to a wholesome, long life. How good is that?
Yeah, that is good. Loneliness can lead to all sorts of health problems, actually. Increased blood pressure, cholesterol, and risk of developing cardiovascular disease. Plus reduced brain function, which of course leads to dementia. These are all long-term side effects of loneliness. Research also indicates that loneliness takes a toll on our mental health. So what we're saying here, Hamish, is that even though staying at home might feel safe and cozy, it could lead you to feeling very lonely, and this loneliness is risky to your mental health and your sobriety.
Isolation is listed as the number one reason for relapse by many individuals in early recovery.
And that's exactly why I was worried about Lucy in the early days, of course, because she stayed in so much. I was like, Lucy, you need to get out there.
People new to sobriety often find lots of times on their hands. When one is bored or feeling isolated, they're left with themselves. And as they say, an addict alone is in bad company.
You might convince yourself in that situation that a drink is okay and it's the only answer to your solitary boredom. Hamish, what techniques do you use to eliminate loneliness? How do you boil your proverbial kettle?
We keep coming back to the kettle, don't we?
Yes, because I just love that saying. It's like, you've got to do it yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to switch it on. People often say to me, oh, we need a social event happening in Brisbane, or we need one in Sydney. Like, people from Brisbane and Sydney, they want me to organise it for them. I'm saying, you've got to turn your kettle on. I can't organise everything. You've got to be in Sydney, and you've got to be the one that organises your own social events.
Yeah.
But people are scared to do it. They don't want to be the one sitting in a cafe on their Todd when nobody turns up, which I've done many times. Yeah. Yeah, I do it all the time.
Okay, well, it might seem like a simple answer, but I just keep going to things.
Yeah.
Even
yeah.
if I'm not sure if I would necessarily enjoy going to a specific event which would be full of drinkers or booze, I try and treat it like an experiment. So I go there, I'm like, right, how am I going to handle it? Will I enjoy it? What different sides of people will I see?
Okay.
I see it as like a good challenge.
Yes.
Specifically if you're going to one that you don't think you'll enjoy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't really want to go. I know what it's going to be like. But then it's a good challenge. Well, can I do this sober? Because I would have just got drunk and then definitely enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, cool. Let's take a step back and treat it as like a challenge.
So you can sit at home, like watching TV all day, or you can sit there and go, right, I'm going to set myself a challenge or a series of challenges that I'm going to do in my sobriety. The first one being is getting a bloody hell out of this house, getting off the couch and doing something that puts me out of my comfort zone and using it as an experiment for the next time you do it, which is exactly what you said there. Good one.
I think the more that you do that, the better you get at leaving a party at a time that suits you.
Yep.
And if you've perfected the skill of leaving a party when you want, there's very little frightening about going to a party.
Yeah.
Like, you can just leave.
Just leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Having a child is a good excuse for that, by the way. Even if you don't have a child, just say you have a child.
He lied yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah, he was very well. Yeah. Slept very well last night. Yeah. That rash was just me with a red pen dotting him.
Apparently Sonny had a rash, but Hamish had the red marker out on him.
It's just Liz doesn't like you, so she didn't want to come.
Fair enough. At least I know the truth now.
Outside of drinking, I think that the shift of having a far less busy social life with a new family is one that just needs to be accepted. You know, I think it's easy for me to look at my life and go, well, I don't go out very much. You know, I'm pretty quiet. I don't do a lot of social things anymore. How dull. But actually, I'm just at a different stage of life now. And I'm quite happy being at home with Liz and Sunny and just hanging out as the three of us. And it's just got to accept the fact that this is a different chapter of my journey.
Yeah, and I also think that life is about chapters. Like, I had my kid chapter, I had my drinking chapter, now I've got my family chapter, and eventually I'll have my retirement chapter. And I think, like, splicing your life up like that and going, like, this is okay for now. I don't have to be that person that I was all the time. I can change and evolve, and now I'm going to do this, and in the future I might do this. I think it changes. Yeah. I think life changes, and if we're more accepting of those changes, it's going to be easier to evolve.
Just got to find the right partner. I remember when I met Liz, I remember thinking, this is the most entertaining human I've ever met.
Yeah.
So even if we didn't get married, I would have been best mates with her and hang out all the time.
Yeah.
So it's even doing crap things with her is good fun.
Yeah.
So
that's
quite lucky.
That's lovely, Hamish. You're very sweet.
I'm lucky.
You are very lucky.
So it's important.
Whereas I'm really cursed with my husband.
Yeah, you've got a dull one.
So dull. Actually, I always say to people go, oh, isn't John lovely? You're so lucky. I say, oh, he's a bit boring sometimes. But I think sometimes people... Like, let's talk about this for a second, Hamish. In relationships, I think sometimes people want everything, don't they?
Right.
They want the full package. They want good looks. They have a big, long list of all the things that they want to tick off.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it's not about those things. Like, John, he doesn't laugh at my jokes, for example.
Okay.
He doesn't think I'm funny. Like, sometimes I'm crying with laughter at an Instagram video of a dog, and I show it to him, and he doesn't get it.
Yeah.
He just doesn't understand it. I'm laughing at things on TV. I'm like, John, look at this. This is hilarious. He does not get it. But that doesn't matter.
Mm.
Like, it's not about those things sometimes. It's about the fact that he's up at night caring for a sick child or cleaning the dog's bum with a hose or, like, all of these awful things are what make him a good husband.
Yeah.
It's not about how good looking he is or how brilliantly funny he is or what a good dancer he is. It's actually about all the other things that are important.
It takes a long time to learn that, though, doesn't it?
It does.
Try saying that to a 16-year-old. Like, yeah. My boyfriend's a bit dull, my girlfriend's a bit dull, but wow, are they hot, and that's enough.
Or wow, is he going to be a good dad?
Yeah. It's never, oh, would they clean a dog's bum at 3 a.m?
Yeah, no. But actually they're the important things, doing the nit combing or like taking the bins out or doing the washing up. They're the things that matter. It's not that he doesn't laugh at a dog meme on Instagram.
Are they going to do the crap I don't want to do?
Yeah.
That's basically what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah. I'm not lonely because I have a boring husband. That's what we're talking about here.
And that's the important lesson for all of you to take home. It's so important to surround yourself with good types of people. It doesn't matter if they're still drinkers or not, as long as drinking isn't the only thing that they do and that fuels their fun.
Yeah.
And also, it doesn't have to be fun all the time, does it?
No.
Yeah. Simplifying things in sobriety and not thinking about, oh, I've got to have fun all the time. You can actually just relax and be content and accept more simple things.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's important in sobriety to create your own new social world. I know that seems hard and overwhelming at the beginning, but it's actually essential. You've got to turn that kettle on and you've got to get out there and you've got to decide what you enjoy. Whether it's online or in person, I mean, don't go online and make yourself a fake catfish account and pretend to be someone else. I'm not talking about that sort of online. Or an OnlyFans account. Have you got one of those yet, Hamish?
No.
Oh, that's a shame. I would have logged off. I would have paid. I would have been your first customer.
Liz just bought us some fans. And I think the website she got them from was called, like, Fans Only or, like, Fans World. I was like, have you accidentally set up an OnlyFans and I'm getting the bill for it?
Yeah, it's nothing to do with air conditioning.
No.
Just in case she suddenly starts making a lot of money. I think sometimes in sobriety, it's easy just to focus on yourself and, like, how am I feeling about this and what am I going to do and how am I dealing with my sobriety? Whereas, in fact, going out and meeting people and spending time with people might take the focus out of yourself. I remember that's something I had with my panic attacks when I was younger, was that I was so inside my own brain, and actually getting out there and being amongst people made me focus more on them, which took the anxiety out of me. And I think the same can be said with drinking.
Interesting.
Is actually just stimulating yourself with other people's stories instead of thinking of your own is a good way to get out of yourself a little bit. Yeah. I used to make a diary of all of my interactions. I know this sounds weird, but in early sobriety, it was a really good log of the progress I was making.
So you write the date and write, went to the pub with mates, and this is how I felt.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And actually, that ended up being my book, which is like it was a log of all of these events and how I got over them and what I did to help myself in those social situations to make sure that I went out and didn't get lonely. It was important.
So would you have a certain amount of days that you allowed yourself to stay in before you went out? Or
absolutely.
Oh, I'm not going out for 5 days, I need to go.
No, I'd absolutely make sure I went out once
good.
A week so that I could log each time and go, right, I've done it once, I can do it again. I also had to be okay with staying at home, because you do stay at home a lot in sobriety, and actually just owning that and saying, right, I like staying in and that's okay, as long as you don't do it too often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you say you do stay home a lot in your sobriety. You don't have to.
No.
But, you know, you can still be as sociable. You just got to be comfortable around drinking drinkers if you're going
to
be.
Yeah. And also, you don't go to as many pubs at night. Like, a lot of people are out a lot because they go to the pub in the evening, or the hotel, as they call them here in Australia. Whereas you don't do that a lot. So it's, again, about finding different experiences to do in the evening, swapping those negative patterns for something more fulfilling.
Why are pubs called hotels here?
I don't know. No idea.
Been here for years. We've never known.
Why is it a hotel? It's not
so
a hotel.
Confusing. It's not a hotel. There's no rooms.
No.
Yeah.
Being alone in sobriety and being lonely are two very different things, Hamish. So you can feel alone, can't you?
Yeah.
When you are actually not alone, which is what you said, when you go out and you're in a social situation and you feel lonely because you're the only non-drinker. And that feels hard. So you have to get over that somehow. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know the magic answer to that.
No, it's hard, isn't it?
You just have to keep doing it.
Doing it until you don't feel it anymore. And it is about putting yourself out of that comfort zone. It's scary, but it will feel good eventually. That's what we're here to tell you. We've both done it and we've kept going, and eventually it was all right. Gosh, Hamish, I just love having this chat about loneliness today, because I think everybody out there feels it. We've changed our lives so much, and this whole new world, this sobriety world, feels so different and so overwhelming. We all know that deep down, too much loneliness is bad for our health and our sobriety. Even though it does feel like the easier option to stay in, it could lead us to feel isolated, or worse, it could lead us into relapse. I think our message on Sober Awkward is often about creating a new life for yourself when you get sober, one that still involves all the stuff you love, just turned down a notch or two and reframed to suit the sober you. I think as our society accepts sober people more, more activities and venues will open up, giving us more choices about what we do with all that time left on our hands. Sobriety, for sure, is not about staying at home on your own. You can only do that for so long, or Hamish and I will be on the phone to you, won't we, Ham? Oh, wait, where are you? Oi! Where are you going? Oh, he's written a note here. Wait a second. It says,
I'm off for an ice bath, a gym class, a writing workshop, a massage, a crossword, a meet up, a beach walk, and then I'm going to text some people that won't text me back and email some strangers, then a swim. I can't believe he's just written that and run out the door. Anyway, I was planning for a funny exit with him, but he's gone. Hamish, come back. If you're questioning your relationship with booze, you're struggling to moderate, or your hangovers are causing anxiety, it might be time to reach out for some support.
Yeah, just talk to a mate about how you're feeling, contact a local doctor, find an AA or sobriety group. Vic's got one.
Yeah, just head to www.cuppa.community.
Remember, if you're questioning yourself, it might be time to seek support.
Even though this journey can be awkward, it is definitely worth it. And if you've enjoyed the Sober Awkward podcast, don't forget to review it, rate it, and share it with your mates.
Do they have to share it with their mates?
Yeah, of course they do. I'm not doing this for nothing, Hamish. Bloody hell.
How do they share it?
I don't know, just write it on there.